Faith to Ignite Commitment, Part 2. And we'll start reading here a few verses in Romans chapter 10, just to get us going, and then we'll be going. So hold on. Are you ready? Romans chapter 10, there, start reading in verse number 8. Romans 10, verse 8 says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." This is salvation, okay? This is salvation right here. This is what it looks like, okay? And I'm just going to read it again because, you know, I want you to see it again, right? This right here is salvation, okay? This is salvation. He says, "The word of faith which we preach," this is what we preach, salvation. You want to get to heaven, this is what it looks like, okay? Verse 9 says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias saith, The Lord, who hath believed our report." In verse 17 here, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if you're going to have faith that's going to ignite commitment into your life and into your being, you're going to have the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith to ignite commitment, part two. Let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I do ask now that you fill me with your Spirit. I pray, Lord, you give me your boldness and your wisdom and your clarity of thought here this afternoon to preach your Word. A lot of truths here in your Word, and we're going to look here at a lot of truths in your life, Lord. But my prayer is that you will use your words here today to ignite commitment in our lives. Lord, we need to be committed to you. We need to be more committed to you. And Lord, I pray you use these words here tonight. Lord, have your will and way with us here today. And we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before you can ever truly become committed to the Lord and serve the Lord, you need to be born again first. You need to be saved. And we read verses 10, 9 and 10 here that talks about believing in the heart, you know, confessing with our mouth. You got to believe the gospel. You got to believe that Jesus died, was buried, and he rose again the third day. If you don't believe he rose from the dead, then how can he be God? How can he save you? How can he raise you from the dead? You got to believe the gospel message. And I've talked with people that say, "Hey, I know I believe in Jesus. I think Jesus was a great man. He was a good teacher, but he didn't raise from the dead. That's all a hoax." Well, listen, you can't be saved. You got to believe the entire gospel message to be saved. All right, but Jesus said in John 3:3, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You see, everything that we do in this life, heaven or hell is at stake. Heaven or hell is at stake. Every one of us will die one day, and it's either heaven or hell. And it all depends on what we do with Jesus Christ. In 1 John 5:12, the Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." It's that simple. God made it so simple. He couldn't make it any more simple. You want eternal life, you got to have the Son. If you have the Son, you have eternal life. If you don't have the Son, you got to get the Son or you're not going to heaven. It all depends on what you do with Jesus Christ. He paid it all on the cross of Calvary. You see, Jesus was committed, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus was committed to do the will of the Father. He was committed to go to the cross of Calvary. That's why he came. He came to pay the sin debt of all mankind. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You see, I don't know about you, but I am so glad that Jesus was committed. I am so glad that Jesus did not quit. Hey, things got difficult for Jesus, didn't they? Things got really tough for Jesus, didn't they? But he did not quit. I am so glad that he went through that pain. He went through that suffering. And he could have called 10,000 angels to deliver him. But God knew that the only plan of salvation, Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, right? We looked a lot of that this morning. But listen, it was the will of God for Jesus to come and pay that sin debt. Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine will be done." But now you got saved. Now what? Now what? Right? You get saved. I remember when I got saved and I knew I wasn't in the right place. I knew we weren't in the right church. I went in and I'm like, this can't be right, Lord. Show me truth. My prayer was, Lord, show me truth. Okay? Show me truth. And it wasn't long after that, lo and behold, he showed me truth. He had to send me all the way to South Korea before he'd show me truth, right? But he did, and we ended up going to an independent, fundamental King James Bible preaching church, and the Lord began to work in our hearts, all because I prayed a prayer, show me truth. But now you're saved. How are you to live your life? How do you want to be remembered? How is it that you want to go out? How is it you want to meet Jesus? Do you want to be committed to the Lord? Do you want to go out committed? Or do you want to go out with no commitment at all? A sorry testimony. We know Demas has a sorry testimony. Demas forsook Paul for the present world, for the world. He loved the world, right? And that's forever etched in Scripture. So, you know, we're going to get to heaven and see Demas and be like, "Demas, why'd you leave Paul? Why would you do that, right? Oh, man, I made a huge mistake. That world, the bright lights and the big city, you know, it just lured me in." But how do you want to go out? How do you want to be remembered? Christianity today is not popular in our world. It's not even popular in the church. Too many church people have the same kind of love for the world that Demas had. The Bible warns us about that in 1 John 2:15. He tells us, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." The warnings are there. Right? There's got to be a separation. We're not to love the world. Salvation is free. Jesus Christ paid it all. He paid it all. You can come to Him and receive salvation, and it won't cost you a dime. But now, if you want to be a disciple, discipleship's going to cost. Discipleship costs everything. Okay? In Luke chapter 14, verses 26 and 7, it says, "If any man come to me, and listen, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." That's serious now, isn't it? It's serious there, right? He's serious here. He says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." You see, salvation is for whosoever wants to come, whosoever will, right? Not going to cost you anything, but to be a disciple, you're going to have to give up some things. To be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to die to yourself. You're going to have to die to this world. You're going to have to give up the wants and the desires of this flesh. And so, my thought here today is we'll look at this again, and we'll look here at the thought of faith to ignite commitment, right? We all need to ignite some commitment, more commitment, wherever you're at. Hey, you may be just newly saved. You may have been saved for 50 years. Wherever you're at in your Christian life today, every single one of us need to have more commitment to the Lord. Okay? And so that's my desire here tonight. Number one, I want you to see that it takes faith to commit yourself to the Lord. So turn over to Psalm 37:5. Psalm 37:5. In Psalm 37:5, the Bible tells us to commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Commit. Commit our ways. That's every way. That's every day of our life, everything in our life, we are to commit to the Lord. Everything. That's going to take faith, isn't it? Right? Because in my mind, I have a plan. Right? I have a purpose. I know what it's going to take for me to get from here to there, but God has a better plan. God has a better plan, and He says, I have to commit my ways to Him. That is the path to victory in the Christian life. If I can just tell you that right there, that is the path to victory, to commit, to trust, and just obey. Right? We sing that song, trust and obey, for there is no other way. Right? To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. That's it right there. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. True faith, we're talking about faith here. True faith is going to obey everything according to God's Word. It is stepping out on faith. God's Word says step out on faith to do this. God's Word says step out on faith. Hey, God's Word says be faithful to church, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. By faith, just step out and do it. Just step out and do it. Obey what God says. There are many people, maybe even us, we profess Christianity, but do we really obey it? Right? Do we really follow it? Right? We come to church, you know, and we get into the Word, but when we leave here, what do? When Monday morning at work rolls around, what are we like? You know? I'm asking, what are we like? You know, I don't know. God knows. God goes with you wherever you go. But are you committing your ways to the Lord? Are you trusting in Him as you go about your days and about your weeks? The Bible says in 1 John 2:3-4, it says, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And so, hey, do you know Him? Do you keep His commandments? Verse 4 says, he that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Hey, do you know Jesus Christ? Do you love Him? If you love Me, keep My commandments. Okay? So let me just get into this here. What do I need to commit? Well, we need to commit our heart to loving the Lord. If you turn to Matthew chapter 22, I think I hit on this last week, but I didn't get to go into it very much here. And so we're going to pick it up and get going here. So turn over to Matthew chapter 22. And I want you to see, first of all, that we need to commit to loving the Lord with all of our heart. With all of our heart. With everything we are. With all of our being. That means putting away my wants and my desires. Right? That means putting away, hey, look, like I said, I had a plan. When I was going to retire from the military, I had a plan. I was going to do this and this and this. Right? But in order to love the Lord with all my heart, I had to commit to His plan. Here in Matthew 22, look in verse 36, it says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and get this, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. How are we doing in that? We all probably fall short, don't we? We all probably fall short. We all probably can't say every day, every minute, every day, we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. In verse 38, he says, this is the first and great commandment. Right? And so, you know, they were trying to trick Jesus here. You had some lawyers there. They're trying to trick Jesus here. But Jesus gives them here. He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And they couldn't say anything because they know that's the truth. That's the number one command. That is the high command. That is what we are to do. But, hey, look, this is 2025, preacher. You know, there's a lot of things going on in this world. There's a lot of things I could be doing. There's a lot of distractions in this world, yeah? And the devil is using every single one of those, you know, to appeal to you, to pull you out of church. Right? He doesn't want you in church. If you're not in church, you're not going to grow, period, .. You're not going to grow. And so if you're not coming to church, you're probably not going to read your Bible either. So there he's got two up on you. He's winning. The devil's beating you. And so now he's going to throw a few fiery darts at you, a couple storms to come at you. Maybe it's an illness, maybe it's something else. Right? And so you got nothing to stand against those fiery darts on. Right? Because you left the church, you left the Bible, you left the Lord, okay? We got to trust Him in everything that we do. We got to love Him more than anything else, okay? Jesus said that is to be our number one priority, loving God. Regardless of what this world says, right? And the world's going to say differently. The world's going to say, you can do that later. There's time. You can get saved tomorrow. You can get saved next week. You can go to church next week. You'll have church next time. You can go then. But that devil is going to use that. And it only takes one time to stay out of church. And then that'll be the second time. And then it'll be easier the third time. And that'll be easier the fourth time. But what he's talking about right here, get this, it's a command. This isn't a suggestion. He's not saying, well, it would probably be good for you. No, he's saying, this is a command. We are to do this here. I think, when we talk about commitment, right, I think that loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind is what's missing in a lot of our lives. I think that's what's missing in our commitment. Right? We're not fully committed because we don't truly love the Lord with all of our heart. Right, we love other things as well. Okay, we love ice cream. Right, we love other things. Right, we love fun. We love being entertained. We love all these other things, and so the love for the Lord is grown smaller and smaller and smaller. And hey, listen, this is not a suggestion. Like I said, this is a command. A committed heart is going to resist sin. Think about that. If you're committed to the Lord, you're going to walk. You're not going to walk with sinners, right? You're going to keep an eye open. You're going to be watchful. You're going to be prayerful. You're going to be watching, right? You're going to seek His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That's the problem. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Right? And so he's telling us here to watch our heart, to guard our heart, to keep our heart with all diligence, right? Because if we don't watch our heart, we know that all these issues in life are going to come out of it because the heart is deceitful. If you truly love the Lord with all of your heart, your life is going to show it. It'll be fruit. Okay, and so that's number one. We need to commit ourselves to loving the Lord with all of our heart. And secondly here, we're going to see that we need to commit your time to the Lord. Commit your time to the Lord. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16, I want you to see here, not only are we to love the Lord with all of our heart, but we need to commit our time to the Lord. Ephesians 5:15 and 16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." We need to have a right walk with the Lord. And when we do that, we're going to realize time is short. Time is running out. Time is fleeing away. Time is precious. Time is limited. Do you all agree with me on that? Time is definitely limited. Do you know there are 1,440 minutes in a day? 1,440 minutes in a day. And how much of that time do you spend, do I spend, in true devotion to the Lord? How much of those 1,440 minutes in a day are we spent in prayer? Hey, God says, you got the priesthood of the believer. You come boldly before the throne of grace. But how much of that time in the day are we bringing our requests known, making our requests known to the Lord? How much of that time are we spent in prayer? And let me ask you this. 1,440 minutes, how much of that is spent in Bible reading? In reading our Bible. That's very elementary, yes. Reading our Bible, but you know, you won't grow if you don't read the Bible. We got to read the Bible. What about winning souls? What about ministering to people? What about being good testimonies to people, right? We are to use our time wisely. We're not to waste it. Time is a gift. We've been given another gift of time here today. We need to prioritize our time. We need to commit our time to the Lord, and we need to commit our time through Bible reading, through a prayer, and through coming to church and being faithful. Devotions, right? Make those a habit. Why? Because one day, you know what happens? Our time runs up. The time runs up, and that's it. And there's no more time for that, right? When you get to heaven, I guarantee you, when you get to heaven, you won't have to preach the gospel to another lost soul. When you get to heaven, you won't get to preach the gospel anymore. All right? There won't be any lost there. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Tomorrow might not come. Tomorrow might not come. Do you get that? We need to be committed today. We need to commit our time today, because when life's over, that's it. That's it. There will be an accounting for our time here on this earth. Let me give you a third thing here. I want you to see, not only do we commit our time to the Lord, but we need to commit our future to the Lord. We need to commit our future. Does anybody in here know what's going to happen tomorrow? What about next week? Next month? And we don't know the future, but I know somebody who does. The Lord knows. He knows. If you turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29, I'll read here verse number 11. Right? We need to commit our future to the Lord. Our life is in His hands. Every breath we have is a gift. Our future is in His hands. In Jeremiah chapter 29, I want you to look here at verse number 11. Familiar verse. Here in Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." So what's going on here is the Babylonian Empire had been destroyed, or had destroyed Jerusalem, and many of the Israelites were taken captive. They were taken bondage. They were taken into exile. And those people there, they lost everything, right? The children of Israel lost their homes. They lost their wealth. They lost their husbands, their sons, their wives, their daughters. They lost their freedom. And now they're held captive in another nation. Right? God's plan. That was God's plan, because they didn't listen, okay? They didn't get right. But God's plans are not always immediate. Now what's going to happen is these Israelites will endure 70 years of captivity. But God promised them after 70 years, they would be released, okay? But 70 years of exile before they saw God's promises come true, right? They had to trust the Lord. They had to trust the Lord. That was His promise, but they had to see Him through. Hey, we're going to face seasons where things are going to come, and times where storms are going to come into our life. And the answer to our prayers may even seem delayed, but God's plan is still in the works. We got to have faith to commit our future to the Lord, knowing that we are in His hands, that He is going to supply. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. We need to seek His will for our future in everything. All right, everything. Right, whether it's a career, whether it's a relationship, whether it's moving to someplace or going someplace, everything that we deal with or comes into our life, we need to seek the Lord's will for our future. And then we just have faith in His purpose for our future. Just trust Him. Moving on here, I got a fourth one. I got more than four. I got a lot. But I want you to see here that we need to commit your body to the Lord. Commit our bodies to the Lord, okay? Commit our bodies to the Lord. If you turn over to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and again, you probably know these. We look at them quite often. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. But I want you to see here that we need to commit our bodies, our time, our future, our bodies to the Lord, okay? In Romans 12:1, the Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says there that we are to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Right? What we're talking about here, this is a picture of the Old Testament believers where they would take that lamb, right, and they would make an offering to it. They would make a sacrifice to it. They would sacrifice that animal to God. And this is the same type of sacrifice we're talking about, except we're not using lambs, we're using our bodies. Right? We're putting our body on the altar. We're placing it there before the Lord. Lord, what is thine will? What is your will? Not my will, but what is your will? Our sacrifice to God is our body, and it's to be a living sacrifice, okay? A living sacrifice. And what that means, I'll give you a couple thoughts on what that means. It means a constant thing, right? It means a constant, continuous sacrifice, not just on Sunday. All right? Hey, I'm going to sacrifice my body to the Lord, whatever the Lord wants. But then on Monday morning, when I go back to work, you know I'm going to come back and pick my body up and I'm going to do what I want. No, it's a continuous thing. It's a daily thing over and over and over again. You cannot take it back, all right? You give it, you don't take it back. We dedicate our body to live for God the way He says in His Word. But it also means that we're to sacrifice our body wherever we are. You can't use this excuse. Well, when I get somewhere else, I'll serve God. Not no, serve God here, in the present body, where you're at. Well, you know, whenever I retire, I'll have more time, and so therefore, I'll be able to serve the Lord more, right? That doesn't end up going that way, right? Because what happens is you retire, and you move on to other things, right? Where your day was 8 hours filled with work, now you filled your day with 8 hours of other stuff, right? 8 hours of other stuff, whatever that might be, right? Commit your body to the Lord. Sacrifice to the Lord. It means our desires are dead. Paul said it best, I die daily. Right? Everything about me that I want, I got to die daily. I'm sacrificing myself, right? I'm sacrificing my body, and that means to live for God and serve Him. You say, how do I know how to live for God and serve Him? Well, it's in the book. It's in the Bible right here. It tells you everything. Every issue in life, the answer is right here. How to live a holy, righteous, separated life, it's all right here. How to live for the Lord, it's all right here. It's all right here. He tells us here right in Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then he says, which is your reasonable service? Do you know it's just reasonable to be faithful to church? Do you know it's just reasonable service to come every time we have church? It's just reasonable service. And you all think that we have it so rough, right? Because we have Sunday school, we have Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, we have Saturday soul winning, we have, what else, Wednesday, I mean, that's rough. I don't know how the early church made it because they met every day. How did they do it? They were happy too. They went around joyful and singing and praising the Lord, and even when they got tortured and beaten and put in bonds and put in prison by Paul, they were singing, right? Singing in prison. They were happy. They were committed, right? They were committed. We'll move on here. I got another one I want you to see here, that we need to commit our words to the Lord. Commit our words to the Lord. If you turn over to Colossians chapter 4, you know this story, how it goes, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Is that true? No, it's not really true, is it? How many people you know left church or quit a job or whatever because of some words spoken? right? The serious thing. We got to watch our words, right? We need to commit our words. We got to be mindful of what we speak, right? We got to make sure we're glorifying the Lord. In Colossians 4, in verse 6, he tells us here, let your speech be always with grace. All right? Get that, always. Every word that comes out of our mouth, we should be speaking as grace. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. You see, glorifying God, our words, are our words glorifying God? Right? If somebody said something and it offended us or we got upset, you know, what are we saying back? How are we reacting to that? Is our speech with grace? And so with this, we want to be mindful of our gossip. Right? We don't need to be gossiping. Gossiping, lies, backbiting, slander, all those types of things we want to avoid. Right? We don't want to avoid. Why? Because it's not seasoned with salt. Right? We know salt is a preservative, and speech seasoned with salt is speech that is not corrupted with impurities. Okay? Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. So, again, let no corrupt communication come out of our mouth. We need to be careful of our words. We need to commit our words to the Lord. Let me give you another one here. We need to commit our fears to the Lord. Our fears. If you turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll see here, we need to commit our fears to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. First Peter 5, 7, here it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Is that not a glorious promise? How many of you have a storm right now? How many of you have a trial right now? All of us, right? If you don't, you're going to be going through one very quick. Right? I want you to take this verse. I want you to highlight that verse in your Bible. I want you to write it in your note, whatever. And when that storm comes upon you and you're feeling all alone, I want you to remember to cast your care upon Him. Because He careth for you. You know, He takes care of all the birds. In my house, we got a lot of birds, right? Got a lot of cardinals and bluebirds and all these different kinds of birds. I don't know what they are, but there are a lot of them. Right? But you know what? I don't ever see any of them out just dropping dead in my yard starving. God provides. God takes care of them. Okay? He took care of them in that storm last night. They were all still in my yard this morning. Right? And so how much more is God going to care for you? Right? He cares for us. That is a great promise. We don't have to carry our own burdens with us. Right? We don't have to carry them on our shoulders and be weighed down by them. Right? We can cast them upon the Lord and we can be dependent upon Him. Hey, if you're discouraged, you can cast that upon Him. If you're going through an ailment, you can cast that on Him. Philippians 4:6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We have the answers right before us. We have the open gate to heaven right before us. We have the promise that we can cast our cares upon Him and He will hear us. He will provide. We have a Savior. We have a great Shepherd. We have the great I Am. We have a great High Priest. We have a Heavenly Father. Hey, we should just be dependent on Him, shouldn't we? We should just trust Him. We should commit, hey, not even only our fears. We just need to commit everything to Him. Whatever it is. Our fears, our doubts, our worries, our burdens, it all applies here. Cast them upon Him. Okay? Surrender to Him. Trust in Him. Let me give you another one here. I want you to see we need to commit to persevering in faith. We need to persevere. We need to just persevere. Okay? Persevere, not quit, not give up. In Galatians 6:9, if you turn over there, Galatians 6:9, many people are tempted to quit. Many people are ready to quit. Maybe you are ready to quit. Maybe you already quit. But the Bible warns us about persevering, not quitting. We're not to quit. If you thought about quitting, don't quit. Be encouraged by these verses and through the Word of God not to quit. In Galatians 6:9, don't quit. Why? Because it says here, "And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap," what? "If we faint not." If we faint not. Right? Hard times will come. Trials are coming. We know that because we have this flesh. Right? But we're just to persevere. We're to stay faithful. When those trials come, stay faithful. When those hardships come, stay faithful. When those difficulties in life come, look up. Look up. Don't look down. Right? I see all these people walking the street, right? Doing this. And then they walk in the middle of the road. How do they not get hit? Right? We need to look up, right? We have a Savior. We have a Heavenly Father. We have a King of Kings, right? Look up. Trust Him. Right? Don't get all me in this life. Look up. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." In verse 14, he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul didn't quit. He kept going. He kept pushing forward. He persevered. He looked up. He kept his eyes on Jesus. You know, the disciples had that storm they were going through. They were out in the middle of the sea in the big old storm all night long. Peter got out of that boat when Jesus came walking on the water, and Peter thought he could do the same thing, and he did, until he took his eyes off of Jesus. When his eyes were on Jesus, he was walking on the water. But he took his eyes off of Jesus, and what happened? He began to sink. That's right there for us, for you and I. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can walk on the water. But when we start looking around at things going on around us in the world, or we start looking from within, instead of looking at Him, we're going to sink the same way. Right? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse number 7, Paul's about to be put to death. Right? His time has come. He is about to be put to death, and he says this. He says, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Right? He didn't quit. He didn't quit. He persevered, right? And so we read these stories in the Bible about not quitting, about persevering, about keeping the faith, right? That should encourage us. That it should encourage us to not lay down the sword and give in. Not to give in to the devil, right? The devil's going to tempt us. The devil's going to get you not to come to church. You try to come to church, especially if you're just starting out, the devil will do everything he can to get you not to come to church. I've seen it over and over again. The struggles that we go through, right? You know, and I'm sure you deal with struggles as well. You know, you're trying to get people to come to church, right? And there's struggles. The devil's going to do this. The devil's going to do that. You know, they said, "Hey, I'm coming to church," right? But that devil's going to do everything he can. We got to keep our eyes up. Keep our eyes up. Don't quit. Jesus didn't quit. So don't quit on Him. Right? Don't quit on Him. I want to show you this here. This is my last one. You turn over to Luke chapter 22. I want you to see here. Jesus, you know, He's about to be arrested, crucified, put to death, resurrected, all that. Here in Luke chapter 22, He's experiencing anguish, sorrow. After the Last Supper here, Jesus and His disciples went to the Mount of Olives. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 41 and 42, it says, And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed. Right? He prayed. Jesus is preparing to go to the cross, and He prayed. I want you to get that. Whatever storm you're about to go in, we need to pray. Whatever trial you're going in, we need to pray. That should be the first thing we're doing. Okay? Not to poor pity party me, all right? We need to pray. He says, verse 42, saying, "Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." And when we pray, we submit to His will. Okay? We submit to His will. Not my will. Lord, hey, if You could take this cup from me, if You could take this pain and suffering from me, that would be amazing. That would be great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right? But he's saying, not my will, but thine be done. Okay? That cup there is symbolizing all the suffering that he's about to go through. Right? And we know it, and he's about to know it, and he knows it, and that burden of all of our sins to be put upon him, you know, that there's a sense of fear, there's a sense of, you know, of not knowing, there's a sense of a whole lot going on there, right? But Jesus, this is my point, Jesus was committed. He was committed. He didn't quit. Times got rough and times got hard, and the pain was surely coming, but he didn't quit. I want you to see this here in verse 44. I want you to see the intensity of Jesus' agony here in verse 44. It says, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Get that? His sweat was as blood. And there's a condition known for it, and I probably am going to say it wrong, but somebody can correct me later. It's called a hematidrosis. Hematidrosis, all right? And I'm sure I said it wrong, but hematidrosis, that occurs when extreme stress causes those blood vessels to rupture and it mixes with sweat. You know, and this is apparently what Jesus was going through from the stress of knowing what he's about to go through. What is my point? My point is burdens come. We all have burdens, don't we? We all have burdens, but what did Jesus do? He prayed and he submitted to the Lord's will. He submitted to the Lord's will. His disciples come back and he finds them sleeping, okay? But he didn't quit. In verse 46, he said unto them, "Why sleep ye? Arise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Right? He was facing this time of why he came. He was facing the betrayal. He was facing the beatings, the mockings, the scourging, and all this. He didn't quit. He persevered to the end. So that's my last one here for today that I want to leave you with. I want to leave you with Jesus did not quit, and so we better not quit as well. We better persevere to the end because, I mean, think about it. What if Jesus would have quit? What if he would have quit? Right? He didn't quit. We shouldn't quit. And so as we face challenges in life, I want to remind you that we need to pray and just trust God. Pray and trust God and continue to persevere just like Jesus did, and we need to be committed to Him. Are you committed? Are you committed to the Lord? What does your actions say? What does the fruit say? Hey, are you serving Him? Our faith should ignite some commitment in our life and cause us to be more faithful. Is it? Is it? I hope it is. I pray that it is. Why don't we all just make the commitment right now to serve Him with whatever time that we have left? Whatever time that is, I'm going to just serve the Lord. Whatever He wants me to do, I'm just going to make that commitment right now to just keep serving Him. No matter what comes upon me, I'll just keep on serving Him. What about you? Let's pray.